I'm going to be doing both services today, so that's why we didn't have a hymn history. We will get back into hymn histories very soon. It's just I kind of found out later in the week that I was going to be doing both sermons. So now that I know that this is probably the way it's going to be for a while until Pastor Unger gets better, I will be reworking some stuff in the schedule to make sure that we get that hymn history in. Hebrews chapter number 11. We've been talking about the faith of Moses. We saw that faith, first of all, in Moses' life and how it worked out. And what we're trying to describe and to preach and to explain to you all is that faith and true faith isn't just something that we proclaim, but it's something that takes action with in our lives, and it causes us to make choices and to do things and to act out our faith. It's not just enough to proclaim Jesus Christ. We have to profess and possess Jesus Christ. And when Christ takes control of us, a new nature is given. And that new nature is seen and worked out in an active faith in how we approach things. Now, the war, and what we need to understand is we're also in this body of flesh that has its desires. And as it has the desires of the body, many times have desires that are contrary to our faith or the new nature that's given to us in salvation. So we fall and we make mistakes, but we understand that by faith, Jesus Christ has done a wonderful work in our lives, has given us a new nature, has ushered us into the family of God, and henceforth we give this body or this temple to be an active servant or sacrifice to Jesus Christ and his desire, as is given as our understanding is deepened through the Word and through the leading of the Holy Spirit in His Word. All right, so that gives us an idea about faith. And in Moses' life, we saw faith in his parents to see that he was a proper child. We saw faith in Moses in giving up a prestigious position. We saw that. We also see faith in Moses that he would give up Egypt and he did not fear Pharaoh. And now we're going to take this time to look at faith in Moses' life to take the Passover. To take the Passover. Verse 28. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Alright, so we know that there is this special day that the Hebrews remember called Passover, right? And that's when Jesus Christ was crucified. Remember, they had to get him off of the cross because Passover was coming. And Passover is a remembrance of a day that happened way back in Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, we see all the working out of the Passover in that day. And then we see five other times in the scriptures the remembrance of that Passover and how that Israel was to remember the Passover. Now, the faith I believe that he was displaying is found in Exodus chapter number 6. And let's turn to Exodus chapter number 6. I want to give this thought again because I found it such a powerful thought. Now, when I'm studying the Old Testament now and when I'm studying the things of Israel, I try to look at it through the lens as if I was an Israelite. I'm trying to understand more of the customs of Israel, how they saw things. So I really appreciate friends of Israel. They don't we don't agree with them on everything, but many of the historical facts that I will be describing to you or the traditions that I will be explaining to you do come from that, and we will be looking a little bit at that today. So, Exodus chapter 6 and 6 through 7. Exodus chapter 6, 6 through 7. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt. So as we see this and as we think about this, we understand that God then, a few chapters later, institutes this within Israel to keep this every year. And he says what they're to do. And then we understand when the temple was given, he reinstitutes it again and tells them, keep and remember this Passover. But this is describing what Moses' faith was placed in. And we're going to talk the whole day about what Moses' faith was placed in that caused him to be able to act upon that faith. What is his faith? What is his faith placed in? Remember, we were talking last week, but I want to just remind you of this before we get into the new material. There is a New Testament passage found in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And remember, in Matthew chapter 26, in verse number 26, I believe, through 29. Let's get there. We'll also be looking at a passage in Luke in just a few moments. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 25, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. So in this time that Jesus Christ at this time would be remembering the Passover, look at verse number 19 of Matthew chapter 26. And disciples did as Jesus had appointed, and they made ready the Passover. All right, so this is the Passover service that they would do. And by the way, you can go on to Friends of Israel Equip on YouTube, and you can actually see them doing a Passover. It's extremely interesting. In how they did the Passover and what they would have done in the Passover. Many of them draw from traditions that were handed down, and they would say this is how Christ actually performed and took the Passover. Verse 20, now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. So this is in the process of him eating the Passover, okay? So this is a process that he's doing, that he's remembering what Christ did way back in Exodus chapter 12 and how he used Moses to protect his people from judgment upon sin. And they did eat. He said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he said, and he answered, he said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. So we see them eating of the bread, remembering the Passover. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. Now I've read all those verses beforehand to put a exclamation point on this point. This is a process. The Passover is a process that is taken by the Israelite people. And the process has four cups that kind of mark the going and the procedures of the Passover. And each of these fence posts proclaim something about their faith in God, as seen in Exodus 6:6-7. First of all, it's a cup of sanctification. I am the Lord and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt. So as they're remembering the Passover, they're thinking about how the Lord took them out of Egypt. Second, the cup of rescue, and I will rid you out of their bondage. They're remembering and going back to when they were in bondage in Egypt, and God, through His grace, took them out of bondage. The third cup is the cup of redemption, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. So redemption is a is a term that means to buy back something. So we understand that creation, the world, man, who was the king, if you will, of this world. Not of the universe, but of the world. Everybody understand that? He was placed in that position by God. Therefore, God gave him everything he would need, not just to survive in life, but to strive in that garden. And what did man decide? Well, man decided to be manipulated by Satan, and then Adam decided to disobey God, fully aware that he was disobeying God. Eve was deceived. Adam chose to disobey God. And as he disobeyed God, what happened? He declared that he no longer would trust God for his position as being king of this world, but that he could, by his own strength and his own power, be his own king. And is that not the problem today in this world? You know, a truly saved person understands that he is not the king of his life. Because there's been a time in his life that he has declared, King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy scorn, thy thorn-scarred brow, lead me to Calvary. What is the death that every person has to experience in order to be placed into the body of Christ? He has to experience that death to himself as king of his life. And what happens here? Jesus Christ is drinking the cups, but it comes to the fourth cup of restoration, where he will restore them back to the land. And he tells the disciples at that time, I won't drink this until I come down bodily and restore you back into the land. So that cup still hasn't been drunk by Jesus Christ. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that here we see that Moses is having faith. What is he having faith in on the whole? Well, he's having faith in that God is the God is the special selector of Israel. God is the special protector of Israel. God is the special redeemer of Israel. And God is the special will be the special restoration to Israel. He's saying, it's not about us. It's putting my faith in God. So how did he put his faith in God? He took the Passover. He took the Passover and he followed God's commandments on how he should take the Passover. That's the whole point of what I'm trying to explain here. Now, the Passover is linked to Jesus Christ. And today I want to talk in the first message about how the Passover is, how Jesus Christ is the person that the Passover pictures. Does everybody understand that? Okay, good. So let's go to the Passover in the picture of the person of Jesus Christ. Exodus 12, verse number 13. Exodus 12, verse number 13. Exodus 12, 13. Specifically, we're going to look at blood today. And I'm going to have to explain this because Christians, we have some mighty different sounding terms like, are you washed in the blood? Have we ever thought about how the unsaved world might hear that? That would be kind of scary if you've never heard of Christianity before and you walk into a service and you say, have you been washed in the blood? I remember an evangelist coming here too, and we took him out to Unger's, and he asked one of the people, have you been washed in the blood? I wasn't there, but I just heard the story. If I would have been there, I'd have just kind of walked the other way, down the other aisle, and left on the fend for himself. Why? Because people don't understand that. That sounds really bad. But the blood is a picture of something, and we'll get into this in just a second. Exodus 12, 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So what is happening? The Passover, and we'll get into it, they had to take a lamb, they had to kill the lamb, they had to draw the blood from the lamb and mark their doorposts with the blood. So when Jesus Christ, the death angel, came through And judgment came. Judgment was already put on the Lamb. See, there's two ways that a person can pay for sin. Sin will be judged. Does everybody understand this? Sin will be judged in the end. All sin. Either Christ has already paid the judgment for your sin on the cross, or you will pay throughout all eternity in the lake of fire for sin. So what is this saying? Either the Lamb's blood was the payment for sin, or God's judgment will pay you for sin. Personally. So, there's this promise to destroy those that do not have the blood upon the doorpost. Verse 26 and 27 of the same passage, chapter, Exodus 12. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service, that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Egypt, children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our house. And the people bowed their head, the head, and worshipped. So, judgment's coming. Judgment will either be placed on the personal individual, or it will be placed on a substitute. What was the substitute? Well, it was this lamb. This lamb that would pay the penalty of sin by giving its life for the individual, or the individuals within the home that the blood was applied. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter number 17. Leviticus chapter 17 gives us some understanding about why the Jewish people during this time were not allowed to eat meat that still had blood in it. They had to drain the blood out. And it was very important that they drain the blood out. Leviticus 17 verse 11 says this, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for your soul." All right, so atonement. What does this atonement mean? This is where I could use Brother John. He'd help me great with some of his object lessons that we're using on Thursday night for teens. What does atonement mean? Well, it means a covering. But it doesn't just mean a covering. It means something that you place over that totally changes the view of someone else on what it covers. All right? This is really cute. She's downstairs, so she won't hear this. My youngest hasn't worked out. She's very smart, but she hasn't worked out the sneaky skill yet to its fullest potential. And the other day, she got into some candy, right, that she knew she wasn't supposed to get into. And I knew she wasn't supposed to get into it because when I walked into the room, guess what she did? Just like that. It was so funny. It's kind of like when my wife caught me eating ice cream out of the liter jar, you know. So, you know, like, oh, we try to cover that up. But it doesn't change the nature. You still see the sin. When God puts his covering on a person, he declares Christ's righteousness, and that's what he sees on that person. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So when God looks down and the blood of the Passover has been placed upon me, he doesn't just see me as cover or hiding my sin. No, he sees me as totally my sin debt paid for, and what is added to my account. So, all of you that have to pay somebody out, what, pay somebody off, what do you love to see? You love to see a receipt that says what? Paid in full. Right? I can't wait till I receive a paid in full for my van. It's only a little bit longer, and I'll receive this paid in full. That van won't belong to the bank anymore. It'll belong to me. I own about 3/4 of it right now. But isn't that funny how they don't leave you three quarters if they have to repossess it? They take the whole thing. So, but when it's mine, it's going to be mine. It's going to be paid in full. When Christ looks down on you, he sees an account that says paid in full. But here's what's even better. Let's go to the store and we pay something in full. And then they add. How many of you have ever been in a position, and this very rarely happens, where they say, we paid you in full, but we notice we still owe you. And they give you money back. That might happen once or twice in a millennia. But you look at it and you say, wow, not only is my account paid in full, but something has been added to my account. So when we're saved, not only does God look down and see paid in full for our sin debt, but he sees on our account the righteousness of Christ applied to us. That's what a covering for sin means. See, as far as man is to man, we see our sins, right? And we see our failures. But when the Passover lamb's blood is applied to our life, God looks down and it totally changes our character of what he sees. He doesn't see a sinner anymore. He sees the righteousness of Christ applied to us, and he legally declares us justified, and he is just in declaring us justified. You know what he's saying? I am accounting on that individual the righteousness of Christ. And when I look down at that individual, I no longer see sin. I actually see the righteousness of Christ applied to him. Amen. Kind of forced that one, but hey, I couldn't help it. Hebrews chapter 9. I'm saying I kind of forced the amen, but I couldn't help it. Hebrews chapter 9. This, of course, is talking, Hebrews chapter 9 is talking about this awesome blood of the testament. Look at verse 20, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto us. Moreover, verse 21, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. So this is going back to the Old Testament. In order for things to be cleansed in the Old Testament for use in the tabernacle or temple, what did the priest have to do to those? Well, he had to take a sacrifice, he had to kill the sacrifice, he had to drain the blood of the sacrifice, and then he had to go and he had to sprinkle all of the material that he would use for worship to God, for the glory of God. He had to sprinkle it with the blood. Why did he have to sprinkle it with the blood? Because he is showing by sprinkling it with the blood that there is a covering. The nature of those tools are changed because the sacrifice has been applied to those tools of worship. So when we worship God, we're able to worship him in spirit and in truth because Jesus Christ's blood has been sprinkled on us. Jesus Christ's life has been applied to us. So now, therefore, when God looks down at us in our worship, when God looks down at us in our service, he sees the substitute, the perfect sacrificial substitute applied to us for his praise and glory. This is what faith does. This is why we step out on the sure foundation of Christ as our Savior. And we can declare, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. I've been cleansed by the sacrifice of Christ, pictured in his promise through his blood that was sacrificed. Verse 22, and almost all things are by law purged or cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness or no remission. There's no forgiveness of sin without a life being offered for sin. So what's so important about this? The Passover is a perfect life given for the purpose of covering of sin. You say, well, I can work and I can do good things and God will look down and he'll be fine with what I can do. That's not going to work. That's not going to cover past sins. You say, what past sins? Romans chapter 5, verse number 12 says it beautifully, doesn't it? For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all sinned or have sinned. How have we sinned? Through our forefather Adam. When he disobeyed God, all that came from him disobeyed God in him. We also have disobeyed God because we're just rebels against good things. Let's be honest. We just hate what's right, naturally. When people tell me, man, I'm really struggling with something or somebody or this unsaved person hates what's right, I say, I'm not going to use that phrase because it's so childish. I want to say, yeah, that makes sense. That was mature. That makes sense. Why does it make sense? Well, because naturally we sinned in Adam and we hate righteousness. We don't like good. We don't like to declare God as being over our life. We like to declare our feelings as being over our life. We want to declare what's right in our eyes as over our life. Now, if you're of teenage, every Thursday from 6 to 8, we have a teen class, okay? And those that are teenagers know that me and Mr. John, we teach the teen class, and he gave an illustration that was so good. He said, back in the Bible days, there was cubits. How are cubits measured? Well, from the bottom of your elbow to the top of your finger, right? So then he had my little girl come up. He measured it first with his hand. The light pole in there that we use to change lights. And he measured it with his hands. And it took three of his hands to measure it. Okay? From elbow to top of the finger. He asked Tori to come up and measure it with her hand. Guess how many it took Tori to measure? Four. They asked a few other kids to come up. One was 3.5. One was 3.25. What was his point? When you measure by your standards, everything looks different. Then he took a tape measure that was 40 years old. Or he said it was 40, might have been 20, I can't remember. But it was an old tape measure. He measured the light thing. Guess what? It was what it was. Then he took a brand new measuring tape and he measured the light thing. It was the same. Why? Because it doesn't matter how old truth is, it doesn't change. Truth always stays the same. Why? Because truth isn't on us and it's not on what environment tells us truth is. It's in God. And that's the point I'm trying to get across. I'm trying to stretch this point out because there's no way I'm going to finish this sermon now. What is this picture? This picture is of Jesus Christ. And this picture is of how he gave his blood to cover sin. The picture of the Passover lamb is proclaimed by Christ in Luke 2:22, verses 19 and 20. Luke 22, 19 and 20. Luke 22:19-20. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. All right. So this is the Passover. What is he declaring the elements that they're taking in the Passover to be? His body, right? We do this in the New Testament church once a month, and we call this the what? The Lord's Supper. Christ's time, this was the Passover, as already established from Matthew chapter 26, verse 19. They're remembering the Passover. Christ is declaring to them. Now, they've never heard this. You know what Christ is saying? I am the Messiah. I am the Passover lamb that's going to give my life for you. I'm the one that's going to shed the blood so that sin can be not just covered, but God can look down and those that have the blood applied in my body that was given and my life given to them, those that have that, when God the Father looks down, He just doesn't see a covering. He sees a totally different nature that's been given to that individual whose sins have been forgiven and whose righteousness of God has been, and the individual has the righteousness of God placed upon him. That's the Passover lamb. He's saying, hey, this body, that's why there was to be no leaven in the bread. Because it's a perfect body. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says this. Of course, speaking about the man that has illicit relationships with his stepmother. And the church at Corinth letting him stay in the church and bragging about how gracious they were. And Paul saying, no, no. Either that man repents or he needs to be thrown out of the church. And in verse 7 it says, purge out therefore the old leaven that ye may be a new lump. You're the church of Christ. Get that sin out of it or it will infest. Or it will fester and it will consume the whole body of the Corinthian church at that time. Get that out. Why? Because you're unleavened. Why are you unleavened? For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. You know what he's saying? Sin has been taken out of you. You might still sin in the body, but when God looks down, He sees His sacrificial lamb and that character and that nature that that lamb provided through His blood is Jesus Christ. And we do what's right by faith because Jesus Christ has purged out the old lemon, has purged out the old leaven and has made a new lump out of us. Now that's not very nice to say. I'm just quoting from the scripture. All right? He's purged out the old sin nature. And when God looks down, He sees the blood applied on us. And He sees a new nature given to us that has a sin, our sins forgiven and the character of God placed upon us in His righteousness. That's what it means to be saved. Going back to Luke chapter 22, verse 19. So, when we come to the Lord's Supper, this is a side note, what type of bread do we eat? Well, we eat the good white bread, right? That has all the leaven and lets it rise up, right? That's what we eat? No. We eat unleavened bread. Why? Because leaven in the Bible is a picture of sin. And when Christ gave His body, was there any sin in His body? No. There was no sin in Christ's body. Verse number 20 of Luke chapter 22. So we see one of the elements is unleavened bread that pictures Christ's body given to us. Verse 20. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament. When you see New Testament, it means new covenant. It means a new promise given by God. This is the new promise in my blood, which is shed for you. So what's the new promise? When I see the blood in judgment, what will God do? We all sing this. When I see the blood, I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to say it. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So when God sees the life of His Son pictured by His body and His blood applied to us, His judgment is sufficed in Christ. William McDonald says this about 1 Corinthians 5:17. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. I think about the unleavened bread. Paul's mind goes back to the Passover feast, where on the eve of the first day of the feast, the Jew was required to remove all leaven from his house. He went to the kneading trough and scraped it clean. He scrubbed the place where the leaven was kept till no trace remained. He searched the house with the lamp to make sure that none had been overlooked. Then he lifted up his hands to God and said, "O God, I have cast out all the leaven from my house, and if there is any leaven that I do not know of, with all my heart I cast it out too." By the way, that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 we're to examine ourselves. You see how this all fits in? We examine ourselves before we take the elements of the Lord's Supper, which is the bread and the grape juice. Why do we look at ourselves? Because we want to make sure that sin is out. That pictures the kind of separation from evil to which the Christian is called in this day. The slaying of the Passover lamb was a type or picture of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. This verse is one of the many in the New Testament that established the principle of typical teaching. By this we mean that the persons or events of the Old Testament were types or shadows of things that were to come. Many of them pointed forward directly to the coming of the Lord Jesus to put away our sins by the sacrifice of himself. Without the blood, there's no remission of sin. Without the body of Christ, there is no forgiveness of sin. If you are not trusting by faith in what God has accomplished in the cross, you are not forgiven of your sins. And the judgment of God has not fallen on Christ. Well, it has fallen on Christ. Let me rephrase this, because I'm not a limited atonement guy. If you don't understand what that means, don't worry about it. If you do understand what that means, you know where I stand. I think that Christ gave himself for the sins of the world. But people have to freely choose to accept that gift. It's a free gift, but it's the most expensive, precious gift you could ever have. The blood of Christ, the body of Christ given. Picturing what? When I got saved, I didn't receive a bloodbath, okay? Physically. It pictures his life. It pictures what he gave to me, his body and blood, as the forgiveness of my sins. Do you know God that way? Has God's righteousness been applied to you? Have you, through faith and humility, bowed your knee to the everlasting, all-powerful, all-knowing God? Have you taken his free gift that is offered to you for the forgiveness of sins? If not, judgment will fall. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready for the judgment day? Or are you trusting in your own good works? So one day your mouth will be closed and you'll stand guilty before an all-knowing, all-holy God.